We are now joined by City Administrator Ben Martig and Mayor Erica Zweifel. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Nice to have you here on the day after you guys pulled double duty last night. You had both a city council meeting and a work session.
Yeah, that's correct.
Heavy lifting.
And we finished early.
And
wow.
Erica Zweifel, Mayor Erica Zweifel, the picture of efficiency.
Right. We are going to be testing out the work session thing, too, might be something that the mayor and I have had some discussions that if we have a lighter regular agenda, we've sometimes used a discussion item to talk about things mm-hmm. that need a little more time, like last night, Ice Arena, that I'm sure we'll get into. But we've talked, too, about maybe closing it down, having it more into a work session format, which is pretty similar, so we might be testing this out more often. And we also stayed at the dais versus kind of moving down to a table. Yeah. We've had continuing to have some challenges in the building, in that space, to have microphones work and some other. It's kind of tight in there, so we might also be testing staying at the dais a little bit more.
I appreciate that. I'm a little hard of hearing. And if I was in the chamber and you guys were around the tables in a work session, it was hard for me to hear. Mm-hmm. So, yes, thank you very kindly.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. All right, so I suppose the main event last night was during the work session. You guys had a detailed conversation about the proposed Northfield Ice Arena. Where do we start with that?
Yeah, so this is kind of nearing the bidding phases. So the project's kind of in the very back end of the schedule, and so we have a construction manager that's hired, and they'll be coming back to the city council with a guaranteed maximum price here. But this is they're at about 60% design plans on the facility. So we wanted to give an update on cost estimating and then also kind of the design that they're looking at. And we also received a little bit of a fundraising update on the private partners that we have as well. And again, so the next couple months we'll be heading into bidding and coming back to the council with a final awards planned if things go well, and then ultimately start construction yet this summer. So that was the main purpose of last night's meeting.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I really appreciated the way that the architect worked with the construction manager and did some value engineering ahead mm-hmm. and brought it to the council, and we got to have a discussion about what items, what we could swap out for this or that, and mm-hmm. Really working to stay within budget on this project. So I really appreciated right. that aspect of last night.
With inflation and tariffs on steel, is it practical even to think that this can stay within the same budget that had been set previously?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is important is timing is everything. And
right.
so this format and where we're at in the schedule, too, by the construction manager at risk is what they call it, where mm-hmm. the construction manager will create this guaranteed maximum price, is new. This is the first time we've ever used this. State law didn't used to allow cities to do this. State government could do it in some limited format. Some of the reasons why is because some of what the mayor said, you can get the construction manager involved earlier, more directly with the architect. And then they're basically have been probing with contractors directly the subs that they expect will be putting in some, there's still a competitive bidding process yep. internally on yep. it, but ultimately you kind of get all these packages and then the construction manager enters into those agreements and then comes back with a guaranteed maximum okay. price that even if you have change orders later, they stay with it. They guarantee that they'll stay within that. So by compressing the time when you're doing the price checking and then coming back to bid, it should be more predictable on some of the bidding that
okay.
we have on this form. So that's definitely important. And the mayor, as the mayor said, we actually had representatives of the different entities. So again, the we have users of the facility have been giving feedback too, because we want to be thoughtful on cost. And mm-hmm. so, like as an example, the by switching from one precast type of tip up panel to another, this is going to be a pretty utilitarian looking building. Mm-hmm. So the finishes are pretty plain. Mm-hmm. It won't require maybe very minimal maintenance because it's basically going to be kind of a, like a brushed concrete. But there's a, there are, Minnesota actually has a few different companies that do this, and they went to the lowest one because some of the, some of those companies specialize in more aesthetic options. Yeah. And this company really kind of goes with more of the bare bones version. And so we were, because of the cost containment efforts and some of that and the location of it, it it's not, doesn't quite have to have some of that aesthetic finish on the outside. That was a huge reduction in cost by simply going to a different panel type of a thing. Also there, but there are things on the flip side that they talked about too. So this is a one sheet arena. There's a plan to have an outdoor rink right there. So they had an option that they talked about saying, we could reduce the size of the room where some of the mechanicals are in, but if we did that, there would be no space in the future to add to be able to, say, extend the system out underneath so that we could have an outdoor rink with more finished ice in the future. Right. That's pretty common when Minnesota is pretty unpredictable, where you can maybe have a low-cost outside rink, which is some underground cooling systems can help with the same systems. Or someday, if there's an interest for a second rink or another type of recreation facility expansion in the future. Another thing was, is if they don't have those if the mechanical room isn't sized right, it's going to be way more expensive to have a separate room later. So that was one where they weren't recommending some of the changes, because a little bit more space, will even if it's not used, is not a huge dollar amount, but would be a very significant cost in the future if there was ever an interest to expand. So they're also not only looking at cost savings now, but saying where might there be things in the future where we don't want to get into problems. The police station is an example where I think, unfortunately, the site's big enough for some expansion that we have, but we have some people that are in a storage room that was planned that we've modified for an office. And it really isn't going to be super easy to expand some of the space in there. So we're trying to make do and be more efficient with every space we can there. But that's where we got to, you got to look at the now, but you also want to be looking at the future for cost. So those were some of those considerations that they made with that.
Okay.
It's very smart planning. It's good to hear that they're taking those factors into consideration.
With the Hockey Association, they're one of the four partners in this, and they have been tasked with adding $2 million to the pot to pay for this thing, and they are in the process of actually trying to raise as much as $6 million for other things. There was conversation last night about maybe adjusting the contribution from the Hockey Association.
Yeah, do you want to?
Yeah, so like you said, the original partnership had that $2 million goal. Mm-hmm. They've met that one. There are some things, too, though, that with the cost increases, with the inflationary increases in the cost, we've had to cut back some of the things that early on in the conceptual design phase was included. So as an example, there's what's called a dry land training facility that is not included in the base bid plan, but there's what's called an alternate that could be an option. Right now, we don't have the funding for that, but we also want to design it so it could get added in the future as well. That's pretty much a common feature to have in any new arena. It's kind of like a area where you can do some workout and training off of the ice, basically. So it's, again, we're trying to be thoughtful and be able to have that option. Another thing was is the there was a stadium seating that was planned to be where it's the aluminum ones that come in, and they have an alternative that originally the goal was to have a kind of built-in concrete one, and then there's extra storage and things that you can have integrated with that. So their hopes is maybe some of that fundraising, additional fundraising above and beyond the minimum might be able to, that was one priority they talked about, to be able to have that added in. But I think basically they're, but they also realize that this is costly, and that the communities, Dundas and Northfield and the school district, are putting in too. So I think they're saying, as the bids come in and under this model that we have a construction manager, there might be some flexibility to come back to maybe, say, reduce some of the base cost of the city. But I think right now they've said realistically, pretty confident that they can get to $4 million. They're going to try and get to the $6 million or more and keep working it.
Yeah.
But they also want to be sensitive. I don't know, Mayor, if there was anything that I missed in there, but I think that's it's a little bit fluid on their contributions. But I think they're open to that. I do think there's a that seating is one that they're hoping that they can really get in there, because that's one that will be, once you do it and you build it, it will be very difficult to change that in the future. Mm-hmm.
They are still actively fundraising, and they do have some donors that have matches currently. So that's through April 15th. So people should reach out to the Northfield Hockey Association if they're, now's the time, if they're interested in getting involved in that level or that that aspect of the project.
We are going to have Chris Canelli on the next, well, soon. It's going to be a couple of weeks, I think, but we're going to have him on to talk about some of that stuff too. Okay, one more question about the arena. Sort of in the shadow of what has happened with the water treatment plant, without asking you to commit to anything and without asking you to predict the future, I'm trying to gauge the support for this project on the council. With so many new members, what is your feel for this thing with the council? Is there general support? Is there cautious optimism? Or is there maybe there's more work to do?
That's a great question. I feel there is support for this on the council. I think I might be the last holdout that personally I would have preferred a privately owned ice rink that would have added to the tax base, but that wasn't in the cards. Mm-hmm. So now I think we're all getting behind this project and putting it together in a way that minimizes the impact to taxpayers and works collaboratively with the partners. So I get a really good sense from the council as a whole, and I'm getting on board.
Thank you.
So
yeah, that's great. Yeah.
You're finding the middle road. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this one's quite a bit different too. And ultimately, every vote you can't determine all of that, because there's different stages of it. But this one's unique as well, because again, the mayor talked about collaboration. This is not just a City of Northfield project. The school district is a partner, and we met with them and had feedback on, got pre-commitments of their funding. Dundas Council supported this, and in effect, their taxpayers are paying the same amount the Northfielders are.
And they've been enthusiastic about this thing, too.
Yeah, so they gave their agreements. We actually showed them all of we gave them even the draft legal agreement, so that when the numbers are done, they've already, and their attorneys, had the opportunity to look at the agreements ahead of time. So we pre-drafted them and got what we called it, the framework agreements, already in advance. The Economic Development Authority, who is basically a conduit financing for the debt instrument, gave their commitment to the funding already, and so they're going to be an important funder piece, and they've already pre-committed to using this tool. They're really not in a policy role. They're simply there to provide the debt. They have no, there is no economic development impact to their funding. They're just basically an assistance there to that, and they've given their commitment to that. And so I think this one's a little bit different. In fact, our facilities manager, Jason Dwelly, kind of caught me in the hallway afterwards, and I wish he would have said it in the meeting, but he said, oh, that question that came up around collaboration, he said, I'm getting calls from multiple cities saying, how did you build this framework? Because this is interesting how to have another city partnering with you, the school district on board and private. The consultant said virtually all ice arenas have a collaborative approach because they're costly buildings, and there's different user groups, and you got to get it done. But Jason said this one in particular, this is a very strong model where we brought people together. Whenever you're bringing multiple parties to the table, though, there's give and take and compromise with that. And so, kind of even to the mayor's point, you got to be a little careful if you're going to do a collaborative effort, that you might not get everything that you want, and you try and see if there's a middle ground to get agreement with folks or not. And so there was a lot of that groundwork that was done. But so I think that definitely is unique in this project. And I think the other thing that we're, we did have a pretty big increase in the estimate of the building cost on the ice arena. We did give an update on the budget estimate currently, and then the cost savings that were done leading into the bidding phase. So there should be a clearer understanding of what might be coming on this project comparatively to the ice arena. I think there was quite a bit of surprise with a 45% change in the cost on the project, whereas this one, we're getting an update right before the bidding phase starts. Mm-hmm. So we should have a clearer understanding coming in.
Okay, Good. Okay, with just about 5 minutes left, Ben, you evidently at the council meeting last night expressed some concern about federal funding, or maybe concern's a strong word, but it was a topic worth bringing up at least.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, of course. The executive branch is really taking, I think, some unprecedented actions related to agencies and funding that get distributed across the United States and tying some of their policy positions that might not relate to any of the operational funding issues, specifically diversity, equity, and inclusion, which there's some vagueness to what that means because we've been doing equity work in government for decades on all kinds of different things. You know, the last time we met, I gave the example in education that special education's pretty much been a cornerstone of saying we want to help kids that have learning challenges get extra assistance so that they can have better performance outcomes and have a happy life and be successful. And so you give extra dollars and extra, attention from an educational side. That's equity, and we've been doing that kind of work. There's lots of examples like that. But I would say cities also, if you're saying you can't do diversity, equity, inclusion, first of all, we don't discriminate. We don't have any practices that actually lead to discrimination. But you might do things like trying to remove biases in your hiring practices. We talked about that with the police chief, that we'd like to get more women on our police force because comparatively to some other departments, we don't have as strong of a mix, and we know that there are some challenges in the profession to get more women involved in that. But there are also things you can do in the hiring process to, make it clear that you're not creating biases in the hiring practice. Mm-hmm. Things as simple as like blacking out people's names in the hiring or what gender or sex they are as part of that process, at least on the early stages of like pointing to make it clear. But anyway, higher level, I guess my point is that it is so ingrained in a lot of work, and this isn't new, it's been around for decades. What does it mean, and what are the details of that? Because there's some suggestion that there's going to be, if the executive orders, which in effect are kind of memos to the to agencies to say this is a direction, we don't take direction as a city from federal, and I talked about that, but if all of a sudden policies start changing and funding gets tied to some things saying we're not going to give you funding if these things, there could be dramatic impacts to the city of Northfield and also to partners across the entire community. Could have dramatic impacts to federal funding that have become really important. Some examples to city is we get transportation funding. We have a $3 million. We have safe drinking water. We have a $3 million grant from the federal government that we're looking at using for some water projects. It was going to be for the water plant, but we're looking at using it for that. Body armor for our police. Since I've been in doing this work as a city administrator for over 20 years, has come from the federal government, where locally law enforcement are protected because of the armor paid for by the federal government in some grants that we get. But if there's a clause saying if you do any kind of equity work, diversity, equity, and inclusion related work, or depending on how the federal government executive branch defines that, they're saying you might not get any of that funding. So our police officers could be impacted, our streets and roads that we get funding for. This is very serious. Our public hospital, there's discussion saying if you provide any kind of gender-affirming care at your hospital, you will not be eligible for Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements potentially. So the medical associations where gender-affirming care has been, vetted through independent, medical data are being told now that the funding might not come from the federal government, which means that could put our medical institutions at financial risks. It's already a really tough industry right now the way it is. Our colleges get funding here in town. We have nonprofits that get funding. I was just at a play up in the cities this weekend, and it was announced that their funding is being cut from the National Endowment of the Arts, which comes from the federal funding, because they can't have any related diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they're an LGBTQ-owned company. And so they said, we are going to be relying on private funding now, at least until we get more clarity. So the stakes are really high, and I just think that we're going to be paying much more attention to the details, because I'll transition it here, I know, because the time is short. One example of the executive orders now filtering down that isn't tied to Monday, but You know, there's been directive against a transgender community at the federal level, kind of saying that you need to remove anybody for transgender in forms and this kind of a thing.
Right.
We've had our first now impact locally as to what that means. We have passport services that we provide now at the library, which has been hugely successful. We get people from the South Metro coming down. We're open on the weekends. They like, because their kids can maybe be in the, you know, reading area. And Northfield's a great town to like do a little shopping in. So it's been an economic development tool, I think, a little bit for Northfield. Well, one thing that we got a directive last night from the Department of State office, basically saying all forms that have non-binary option on the gender and sex box basically have to be destroyed. So we had a, you know, 2-foot stack of forms that we had that we were told need to be destroyed, recycled. And all of the online forms at the federal level have been removed. And so if somebody comes in with a form that has the old form, we've been told and directed to let them know that they can submit those, that we would submit them, but there is going to be, quote unquote, a processing delay, which probably is partially because there are lawsuits already filed at the federal level related to discrimination on this issue. In Minnesota, I mean, this is a federal issue that we are basically being agents to have the service locally that we provide at the library, but we don't have any authority over how it's processed. We're basically taking direction. But in Minnesota, sex and gender are protected under our Human Rights Act, so it's on par with race, religion, multiple other protections. So at a statewide level, there are protections. There are also constitutional protections in Minnesota, so we can't discriminate by gender. So, you know, all of our city-related forms and things have either open boxes or we have non-binary options to comply with state law because it's clearly a civil rights issue in Minnesota. But anyway, that's a practical example of when executive order through the agencies moving pretty swiftly, not tied to money, but I could see the writing on the wall coming, and I would say my peers and city administrators, especially kind of ramping up next or last week, I would say there's a growing attention to what's coming on this and tracking of it, and I guess potentially also preparing for political activism, I think, locally, that if the council has concerns with some of this, more that comes forward, that we might be bringing that option forward to say, should we do some legislative efforts on this? Because it's really our federal representatives and senators that will be able to make a difference on whether these things continue to move forward, in addition to the courts, potentially.
Yeah. Anything to add?
Oh, I just want to thank KYMN for being an independently owned local station and an excellent source of local news. So
thank you.
Thank you so
much. That's very kind of you.
Appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.